And I have to tell this story, Brother Landis, and I know you might tell it, but I just always chuckle when I think upon this. But Brother Landis, you'll notice tonight, I mean, he's got some energy, enthusiasm, just got the hand of God on him. He's ready to go. No time to waste. Let's roll. Let's do what we got to do, what we've called here to do. Well, when we went to New York, here my first trip, we got on the subways. That was an experience in itself, getting on the subways. I mean, I'm just mesmerized by all these thousands and hundreds of thousands of people that are scattered about the city. And we get off the subway there in Manhattan. And we get out somewhere around Times Square or something. I don't know exactly where it was, but I can remember it like it was yesterday. I just got off, and I couldn't even speak. I just looked up as far as I could to see these buildings. And I was just almost frozen. And I can remember Brother Landis, just like it was yesterday, Brother Bob. Brother Landis said, "Yeah, they're tall buildings. Let's go." We got to go. They're tall buildings. Let's go. And so that was my first experience with Brother Landis in New York City. But, man, that was a life-changing trip. He had us preaching. He had us going into different churches. We saw Jewish evangelism and passing out tracts. And it was just and Brother Landis, I think you know this, but that was my first real missions trip. It was my first one. And God used that to spark a love for missions in my life.
Amen.
And I am so thankful that the Lord crossed our paths. And here, that was back in 2004. And they're still going strong. And I appreciate the ministry of MTT and what the Lord is doing. All the young people here tonight, you know, 15 and older, even college age, I hope you'll prayerfully consider some of the things that Brother Landis will share tonight. And maybe it won't be this coming summer, but maybe it'll be the next year. But the team that he takes, you get so much experience. And you say, "Well, I'm not called into the ministry." That's okay. It's just we're all called to serve. Amen?
Amen.
We're all called to serve.
Right.
And it's an opportunity for us to use the gifts and the abilities God has given us just to serve people with the gospel. So, Brother Landis, appreciate you so much. You come, and you can introduce your video and Ms. Joyce, and then we'll just turn it over to you, brother. Thank you for being here, brother.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
Appreciate you. Love you, brother.
You too. Appreciate it. Well, God bless you. It's good to be able to be here tonight. And I thank God for the opportunity to be here and to see the ministry that God has called Pastor and his wife Joanna and family to. Because I knew these people. I knew him and Joanna before they knew one another. And so we go back quite a ways. But the Lord has been so good. And I'm so thankful for being able to be here tonight. Now, what I want to do is I want to take you back 25 years. Because it's been 25 years since my wife and I started MTT Ministries. Joyce, if you will, if you'll stand, this is my beloved. And she has put up with me for 45 years, and I'm thankful for that. And then also we have Anna with us. Anna, stand. And Anna actually went on a mission trip with me last year and had no idea that she was going to move down from the state of Maine to work in Greenville, South Carolina. And so she's been a big help to my wife, and we're glad to have Anna on board as well. But we want to show you this video that we actually had produced for this banquet that your pastor had a chance to preach at here just a few weeks ago. And this will show you a lot of nuts and bolts of MTT Ministries and a lot of things, how things got started and what God did and what God has continued to do throughout the years. So, Pastor, if you have it, we'll go ahead and show this about 15, 16 minutes long, and then we'll go from there.
Amen. Well, the Lord's good. Amen. And as they say in Ghana, West Africa, all the time. Amen. And I've seen some things over the years, and it's just amazing what God has done. And it's amazing what God will do in your life if you'll let Him. A lot of times people want to know where God's blessings are. God's blessings are there. He's just waiting for you to open up the door. Amen. He's waiting for you to step and walk right on through. And tonight, I changed my message from what I was going to do because I wanted to have a couple of things that I thought would be important that tonight you could take along with you. And I don't usually do that, but I am doing it this evening. I do want to say before we get started, I have a lot of these 2023 calendars. I'm giving these away. There's a whole lot of them back there at my display table. And so I would like for you to stop by and get one. You say, well, I don't use them too much. Well, that's fine. You give it to someone else. But take one along with you. I have some coffee mugs back there as well. And so you're welcome to take one of those. And we say, when this you see, please pray for me. And the Lord's been good over the years. I want you to take your Bibles and open to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. And hopefully tonight will challenge all of our hearts to see the need of what God can do in our life and how we need to follow Him in a variety of different areas. 2 Kings chapter 4, starting at verse 1 through 7, it says, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah, saying, thy servant my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thine house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt come in and shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed, stopped flowing. And then in verse 7, and she came and she told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my salvation. I'm thankful, Lord, for the fact that many years ago you stepped down and you saved this young man's soul. Amen. And I'm so thankful for what you've done for me. Lord, it's through your blood that I've been redeemed. Amen. And Lord, I just pray that tonight, if there's anyone in here that has never put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ, tonight they could do that because they could call upon you and you will save them if they call upon you. God, I just pray that if there's anyone here tonight that has struggled in their life about what they should do and how they should go about in serving God, and Lord, I just pray that they'll see the answer is right here in this passage of Scripture. And we'll give you praise for what you're going to do. In Christ's name, amen. Tonight, this particular passage of Scripture, a lot of people have heard before. Now, I want to start by saying, God does not hold us accountable for what we can't do. But He will hold us accountable for what we can do and we don't. You see, it's not what you have in your hand that counts. It's what you're willing to give. You know, God can use a little. Or God can use a lot. But one thing God cannot use in your life is what you're not willing to give to Him. And all God wants is your sacrifice to Him. Your faithfulness to Him. And so tonight, we want to see just three things about this lady that sets her apart. The first is in verse 1. We see that this widow had a problem. This widow was left with an unusual situation. You see, a creditor has come, and apparently her husband had owed some money. And he's coming and he's saying, I need my money. Where's my money? When are you going to pay me? She didn't know what to do. And we see here that she is probably distressed,
But yet she knows that Elisha is near. And so she says, where's the man of God? You see, she sought out the man of God. And whenever he went to her, or she went to him, Elisha said to her, he said, well, what do you have in your house? I don't think you understand, Elisha. I don't have anything. This is my problem. I owe this creditor because of my husband, and I don't know what to do. She says, the only thing I have in my house is a little pot of oil. Put yourself in her situation for just a moment. For just a moment. What would you do? All you have is a little pot of oil. You see, it wasn't what she had. It was what she was willing to give. A lot of people don't have a lot. But God uses little things in a big way. Here Elisha gave her instructions, and he told her what she needed to do. He said, well, you go and you borrow vessels. Now, putting myself in her position, okay, all I've got's a pot of oil, and you want me to go out and collect vessels. It's plural, more than one. So she says, okay. So she does. And her boys go out, and I don't know how many vessels she has, but I know it was more than one, because it didn't say vessels. And she collected these vessels, and she did exactly what Elijah told her to do. She did not make this a public spectacle. The Bible says that she brought the boys in, they closed the doors, behind closed doors, and what happened? Elisha gave her instructions. So many times we are given instructions in our life about what we should be doing. Do you heed them? Your pastor gives you instructions every single week from this Word of God about what you should do. But you know, they don't go very far if you leave those instructions at the door. She didn't. She followed the instructions of Elisha right to the T. So her boy started bringing these vessels over, and she took that little pot that she had, and I'm sure that her sons were all there looking, and she began to pour out. And the Bible says that she started to fill those vessels up. I don't know how many, but the oil just kept flowing out of that little pot. Friends, that's a miracle. We don't usually see miracles like that today, do we? But the God that we serve today is the same God that was back during her day. You see, it was her faith is what counted. Because she was willing to follow the instructions of the man of God. So many times we, as the body, the church, says, well, I think I've got a better way, or I'll go my way, I'll do it this way or that way. But lots of times the pastor will never even know anything about it. How often do we meet with the pastor and say, Pastor, what do you think? Can you help me? What would you do? You see, we need to seek sometimes a higher power. She did. And her boys had a chance of being able to see something that none of you have probably ever seen. Those boys saw a miracle. And they seen those vessels being filled up. You see, I believe those boys were beginning to see that there's truth in what God's Word says. And when the man of God tells you something, you need to listen to the man of God. So we see that the widow had a problem. We see that Elisha had a remedy for her. But what I like about all this is her obedience. So many times we hear of what we should be doing for God. We hear, but we do not heed. We are creatures that do not follow sometimes the things that we should follow. And that's the Word of God. It's right here. It's in this book. So anyway, all those vessels begin to fill up. And when she wanted another vessel, the boy said, "Mom, we don't have any more empty vessels. They're already filled up. They're all filled up." And the Bible says the oil stayed. Stopped. Not to worry about keep pouring it out everywhere. The vessels were full. All right, so we got all the vessels. Now what do we do? Well, she started off with the man of God. And now she finds herself going back to the man of God. Because verse 7, it said, "So she came and she told the man of God." And now we see the remedy. See, she had a problem. All the things that transpired, and now there's a remedy. And Elisha said, he said, "Now I want you to take this and you go sell this oil. And oh, by the way, there'll be extra left over, which you'll be able to live on." The whole text of this, it's not what you have that counts. It's what you're willing to give. This widow had practically nothing, but she was willing to give what she had. If you look in the book of Mark, you'll see another situation where Jesus was in by the treasury. And people were going by and they were cashing in of their abundance of money that they had. And it came to this, once again, widow. You know, I think God loves widows. Amen? I think it's a wonderful thing. And here's this widow. And you know, out of everything that everybody was doing in their abundance, what caught Jesus' eye was the fact that this woman came by and the Bible says she put in two mites. About a quarter of a penny. It's not what she had that counted. It was what she was willing to give. You see, God can use a little, or God can use a lot. But lots of times God uses these examples to get our attention to say, "God, can you use me?" Young person, you're in here tonight. You've been challenged many different times. Maybe you've had an opportunity, maybe you haven't, to be able to go and make a difference in somebody else's life around the world. And might I say that if you have an opportunity, don't be like many people, because I've talked to a lot of adults in their 30s, in their 40s, in their 50s. And you know what I hear them telling me? "Oh, yeah, I had a chance one time to do a mission trip, but I didn't do it." You know, the video you saw tonight, and you support a young man right here at this church that traveled with me a good number of years ago. And him and his wife are planting a church over in Zambia. You see, it's not what you have that counts. It's what you're willing to give. It may be sacrifice. It may have to leave for a while. Be used of God and trust God. My wife and I, when we started MTT ministry, we stepped out by faith and we trust God. We both had full-time jobs. We stepped out by faith to trust God. And you know something? God seldom early, but He's never late. My God is on time. And your God is on time as well. Be part of the equation. And God can help you. And you can see a lot of wonderful things done. Pastor.
Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank You for that great challenge. And I thank You, Lord, for how we all are standing in a place, Lord, in our lives where we can be used of You. And no doubt there are many here tonight that would say, "I don't really know what I can do. I don't know what kind of difference I can make." Lord, would You help just make that clear to their hearts tonight that You just want them to give what they have? God, make it crystal clear tonight to each of us, from the youngest to the oldest in this room, are we willing and ready to give what we have for the cause of Christ, for the furtherance of the gospel? Lord, I pray that we would be a ready people. And Lord, I trust that tonight, even in this time that we've been challenged, that we will take an account of our hearts and things that you've been dealing with us already, even before this message, about what you're calling us to do. Lord, may we all be faithful to say, yes, Lord. Yes. Mm. So God, I commit this message to you and your glory. I pray that it would find a sweet lodging place in each of our hearts. This precious account of this widow lady that just simply obeyed the message from your servant, Elijah. God, may we be obedient tonight. With heads bowed and eyes closed, may we just respond in our hearts. And if God is leading you to come spend some time here at this altar in prayer, I invite you to come. With folks just beginning to pray right now, instruments are beginning to play. If you'd like to come, you can come. There needs just to be a time of prayer, surrender. I encourage you to do that right now. What is it the Holy Spirit is saying? I want this in your life. I can use you. I want to use you. But as we preach this morning, the Holy Spirit needs access. He needs a yielded body, a yielded mind, yielded intellect, yielded emotions. Amen. All God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Brother Bob, would you take a few minutes and just share with the church a couple teams that you have going out? I know you have one team that's pretty full, but another one that's going out to Canada later this summer. And just maybe give a brief description of you know, just what the vision is for MTT going forward, if you would do that. Thanks, Brother Bob.
Amen. We, my wife and I, we had planned on going to Singapore last summer. I've been to Singapore about 8 or 9 times, and I've actually got supporting churches in Singapore. And so when we go over now, there's a lot of people that we know. I actually feel really comfortable going to that country and being able to get around, even on my own now, without any assistance, just because of getting to know what it's like over there. And so we have a team that we're going to plan on taking there. It's going to be a team of evangelism and a variety of different areas. My wife and I have done probably over 240 vacation Bible schools since we started this ministry. And so we deal a lot with children's ministries. But we also deal a lot with teen ministries as well, running youth rallies and things of that nature. Now, the advantage of MTT, and it's MTT is taken out of 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things that thou hast taught me, the things that I've heard, okay, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And the purpose of our ministry is not just to take a group of people and go to the mission field. Our purpose is to train them in the areas of local church ministries. Variety of different, everywhere from teaching and music, you name it, things that can be used in the local church. And then Paul's concept with Timothy was, Timothy, come with me. And so he took Timothy with him on some of his missionary journeys. And this is how Timothy began to get experience on the mission field. So this is what we do. We train the young people in a variety of different areas. When I go to the mission field, I'm not the one that's teaching the lessons in Vacation Bible School. Our team members are. When we have a youth rally, guess who runs the youth rallies? The young men and the young ladies. And Anna, she'll agree with me on this. They're the ones that organize and put it all together. And sometimes we don't have just a church. Sometimes we may have 2 or 3 churches that combine and come in. And we've had a lot of young people, 40, 50, 60, 75 young people that will show up at these rallies. And our young people conduct everything. They run the entire program. Now, obviously, there's some adult supervision there, but our goal is to get them to do it. Because this is the building blocks. These are the stepping stones that they're learning that they can take out later on and begin to use in their own local church. There's a lot of young people that have traveled. Literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of young people that have traveled with us. And God is using them all over the world in a variety of different capacities. So we are going to Singapore, and that team, I actually have to ticket that team. I've got room for two more people, but they'd have to have a valid passport, and they have to raise some funds in a very short period of time. And so I'm putting that together. However, I've got the other team that when we get back, and my wife and I, our summers, we haven't had a summer together, just her and me, for over 25 years. I'm always on the mission field someplace working with missionaries to some capacity. And so we're going to go back to Canada. I've been to Canada a number of times. You heard Brother Jeff Reason talking about up there at the camp. He first started going up there back in the 90s. And so, but we're going to go up. We're going to conduct vacation Bible schools. Now, we're going to do something a little bit different this time because I had one church that ended up having to cancel. They had some conflicts and some cancel, so things had to cancel. As a result of that, I'm actually going to be doing something that I wouldn't normally do, but I'm actually going to conduct a vacation Bible school in the state of Maine. And we're going to do that before we actually drive on over and go into Prince Edward Island, Nova Scotia, and New Brunswick. And so, but our goal is to go over there. We're going to be helping churches. Some of these churches I've been into, we're going to be down at the Hawk on the south shore of Nova Scotia. And that church has been supporting me for about 17 years. And so we'll be down there. They don't even have a pastor now. And so we're praying that God will lead a man there to shepherd that flock. It's a fishing village. If you go any further from where these people live at, you're swimming. I mean, you're in the ocean. And so, but we're looking forward to being down there and helping them. Also, I'm going to be, now that, I can still put some people on that team. And so we've got room to put two or three more people. So if your life is too vague, too non-challenging, come along beside with MTT and we will challenge you. Okay? And we'll give you opportunities that you didn't realize even existed. And so, and then my wife and I have been taking Christmas teams out. My wife and I have only been home for Christmas maybe, I'll say, three or four times in the last 25 years. Usually over Christmas and New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, we're usually in another country. And the reason we do that is because, keep in mind, a lot of the schools have this block of time that they're out. And so, and what we do is we concentrate on whenever they're available. And so summer vacations, Christmas vacations, et cetera. So we capitalize that. And we're going to be going this Christmas. We will have to suffer. Pastor, it's a matter of suffering. We're going to be in the white sand beaches and blue waters of the Eastern Caribbean. Do I hear any volunteers? Amen. That man, I see your hand. Brock, I saw your hand go up. So, but we are constantly taking people to the mission field. Next year, I plan on being back in New Zealand again. I've been to New Zealand 10 times. And so in many other countries, Germany and Romania and many other countries, I've done boat evangelism on the Amazon River, where I've actually taken a team to the, can you imagine going to the Amazon River with a group of people and for 3 or 4 weeks, you never get off the boat, except to go in and out of the villages to preach the gospel. Now, we call that missions work 101. And you say, how's it work? It's challenging. But everything you do, you eat in the boat, you sleep in the boat, you shower in the boat, everything you do is in the boat, with the exception of giving the gospel in different villages. And so, and there, for those that have been associated with Ambassador Baptist College, you know that they have some young ladies that was from the Amazonas area that have gone there and gone to school. And so, but my wife, the Lord has just opened up a variety of areas. Ghana, West Africa, up into the areas. Seth Acree. Seth graduated from Ambassador. Seth traveled with me a number of years ago, and Seth is over in Ghana, West Africa right now. And we've had some unbelievable opportunities to minister, especially up in the northern region of Ghana. That's very jungle, very remote area. But God has opened up doors all over the world for us. And I don't go knocking doors down. People hear about our ministry. They say, hey, we could really use some help. Could you come? I love that word. And so I said, sure. You know, when God's in it, I'll go any place. But anyway, our ministry has been open over the years for a variety of different things. And it's so exciting because, see, my wife and I have the privilege of being in many, many churches. I spend a lot of time in the western part of the United States. I got a heartbeat to go out into Mormon country. And my wife and I have been ministering out in the what they call the Intermountain West. Over the years, through Dr. Wally Higgins, I got out that way. And being involved in seeing church plants throughout the western part of the U.S. And can you imagine what it'd be like? How many of you folks have to drive an hour and a half, 2 hours to get to church here? I know people that have to drive that far every Sunday to go to church. That's what we call commitment. And that'll be for another message sometime, Pastor. Commitment. But the Lord is good, and I'm just thankful. My wife and I, our health is still really in pretty good shape for our age. And so I try to keep, it's Ben, right? Ben? I try to keep up with guys like you, Ben. Sometimes you're a little faster than what I can go. Okay? Back in the day now, I could go. Okay? I go now. I just go at a little different pace. But God's good. And is there any questions? Anybody have any questions about what we do in our ministry? We are guided and directed by a board of directors that's made up of pastors and missionaries. I would encourage you to go by and get our prayer letter. We have a prayer letter back there. And if you want to be on our prayer letter list, if you sign your name and email down, my wife sends that. We got over 2,000 people that we send out prayer letters all the time. But if you stop by, you can get that. We have prayer cards of the teams that are going out. Actually, my wife, she wrote a gospel tract 2 years ago when COVID was going on. And the reason she wrote it was because her father was paralyzed as a result of a virus. And so when she had foot surgery and couldn't do anything for a month or two, she decided to write this tract. Well, this tract is about her father that contracted a virus back in the 50s. And that virus paralyzed him. He never walked again. He had just graduated from Bible college, just got a little church, and now is stricken down. Has a family of 3 children. And if you look on the inside on that thing, we've got these on that display table, so grab one of these. The virus that changed our life forever. And you'll see the whole family got a virus called polio, except for her mom. And her mom took care of her father. Her dad could not do anything. It affected his breathing. He was in an iron lung. He had to wear a respirator to breathe. He had to sleep in a rocking bed at night to breathe. Every bit of food that went in his mouth had to be put in there by someone. This is what you call being committed to serve God. Because even with all that going on in his life, he was determined with a stick in his mouth, he was going to go ahead and write a newsletter and tell people don't give up. God's on the throne. God can save. And Art Gordon was probably one of the best Christians and greatest Christians I've ever known, because God used him in a wheelchair with a stick in his mouth. Unbelievable story. Please get one of those on your way out. This would be real encouraging to you. But thank you, Pastor.